gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice TD Jim Ward. Or me, Stephanie Miller, like Karen in Downers Grove did. Can I see that? Oh, looks like our box office snafus will be undone. We will be on sale tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
For the final 2013 Sexy Liberal West Coast show. And then a whole bunch of 2014 cities are going to go on sale this week as well.
Wow.
Yay. Okay. As Michelle Bachman would say, I'm sure she'll make the Minneapolis show this year since, you know, she'll be unemployed.
Sure.
I was on Ed's show Friday talking about how she said it was such a sad day. Yeah. It was a sad day when the shutdown ended.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Wonder if her staff felt the same way.
Right. And I said, well, not as sad a day as when Marcus found out that Glee was canceled. However, comparatively, a relatively sad day. Okay. Oh, because we asked you to request, if you want a sexy liberal in your city 2014 election year. Karen says, Chicago, can't wait to see my third sexy liberal when you bring your beautiful self, Hal and John, back here. Maybe Chris will come this time. He talked about it last time. Chris, do you know how many of us you disappointed? Disappointed. In Chicago, people were disappointed.
Disappointed!
Yeah, because you teased them. I remember that.
Was I supposed to go?
Yeah, you said maybe I'll go, and then you're just a big tease.
Oh, well, yeah.
That goes for Jim, too. Love to meet the boys, Dady. So would I. Okay. He's a little late.
You said to an empty chair.
He's a little late. Has that ever happened before?
Gee, no.
I know Chi-Town will be on your list. Well, you just wait and see, Karen. You can go to our Facebook. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or Twitter. Thank you to the... We had a zillion people requesting Sexy Liberal. Very, very exciting. All right. Speaking of exciting, just more than half the public thinks it's bad for the country that GOP controls the House. Oh, it's going to be a good 2014.
Ah.
A new CNN poll conducted just after the shutdown. So, yeah, people are revved up. Fired up, ready to go, to coin a phrase, for 2014, I believe. Look at this, more happy clappy news. FreedomWorks CEO, it's a real possibility that the GOP will split in two. Oh!
Oh, shucky darn.
Oh, no. I hate breakups, it's so sad. Could I have some breakup music? This is, oh, that guy with the really weird eye, what do you call it? What are those things? Sideburns.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Kibbe? FreedomWorks CEO chief. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sad breakup music, please. Whatever you want. FreedomWorks chief Matt Kibbe, who's sideburns have overtaken his face for some reason. He does not own a mirror.
Apparently not.
No. All right. I'm just playing fine American music. Then fine. He said Friday. Okay, that's fine. Oh, it's good. Right. You've got all your life to live, all your love to give. Tea Party, Republican establishment people. You're both pretty. You'll find someone else. Go! Run! He said Friday divisions on the right could cause the Republican Party to split in two.
Oh, no.
I think it's best. I think it's best for both of you. Go!
Why wasn't anyone thinking of children?
You know what? You brought out the worst in each other. You'd be a better version of yourselves with someone else. Go! During an appearance on C-SPAN, the Tea Party leader responded to a piece in the Washington Times indicating that some prominent Republicans are saying that the GOP loses the 2016 presidential elections, which is, I'm gonna guess, you're not going to lose money if you bet on that.
Right.
The party will go the way of the Whigs or formally split into a moderate party and a conservative party. Yes! Good idea! I think that's a real possibility, so because you're seeing this clash between the new generation. To me, it's not just the old wing of the Republican Party versus the new wing. And grassroots activists have an ability to self-organize to fund candidates they're more interested in, going right around the Republican National Committee and the Senatorial Committee.
Yes! We're talking about young versus old.
Who wants to listen to that whiny Reince Priebus, for God's sakes?
That's a good idea.
Right? Who can listen to that? Go! They still want to control things from the top down, and if they do that, there will absolutely be a split. But my prediction would be that we take over the Republican Party and they go the way the Whigs. Sure! Yes! Right! Good! Yes! The Tea Party will be the real party. They'll be the... Well, the important thing is that you split up. It's not. It's toxic.
It's not working.
It is toxic. It is not working.
It's not you. It's me.
It's not you. It's them. Whoever you are, you're listening. It's them. It's the other one. They're like that with everybody they're with. You weren't the one. It was them. Sorry, I'm just working out a few personal issues.
I guess you are. Hello.
Not that we wish ill on anybody. Okay. Wow, that was better than therapy. All right. Good morning, Jim. Mm. Oh, all right.
All right.
Well, okay. All right.
If you say so.
Okay. Well, at least you're not Dick Cheney. You don't have a pacemaker that you have to disable the wireless function on.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. They have an app for that.
That's actually a really interesting story.
Right. In case you hadn't heard, former Vice President Jim Dick Cheney. Right.
My pacemaker can go bleep itself.
Right. He revealed that when he had the a device implanted to regulate his heartbeat in 2007, he had his doctors disable the wireless capacity to prevent against a possible assassination attempt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm just saying probably a lot of people might have wanted to use that app. So I think that was wise that he did that is my point. Because, you know, once again, we would never wish
anybody.
Oops,
did I accident? Oh, no.
What happened there? Okay.
Anyway. I thought he didn't have a heart at all anymore.
No. It's there.
It's there? Okay.
It's there. He just, it's you know.
It's three sizes too small.
Right. When you take your phone off, you know, off the wireless. What is that called? You don't know. You're the other technophobe on the show. Disable the Bluetooth? The wireless something. Oh, Jim, by the way, did you see this in the LA Times? They interviewed Siri. Speaking of voiceover artists. Susan Bennett. She is a 64-year-old Zumba-loving Atlanta suburbanite. She shocked tech geeks by revealing this month that she is the original voice of Siri.
Wow.
She said that they asked her, since you've come out of Siri, do people say you get me lost all the time? She said, I've had very few complaints. I've had a few emails from people saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been cursing at you for all these years. And then they asked her, talk about why you've come forward now. She said, many of us voiceover people really enjoy our anonymity.
Is she going to
Not
be
you.
In I Know That Voice, the movie, which premieres November 6th, which I supposedly am in. I'll find out if I'm made the cut.
There goes the story about voiceover people wanting their anonymity. Not you.
Right.
You're a big credit hog. She said, I have a nice quiet life. It took me a long time to make the decision to come out of the voiceover booth. I just wanted a chance to finally say, yeah, that was me. Jim, is there anything else you'd like to remind people that you are? You are the voice of...
Shit, you betcha. Captain Quark.
There you go. Come out of the voiceover booth.
Several characters in several games which I've never played.
Right. Oh, that's right. You're responsible for most of the violence in America.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's not the guns. It's me.
Thank you for finally
admitting
that. And I take credit for everything else that went wrong because I voted for Reagan when I was in college. Okay, Frank in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
How you doing, Steph?
Good.
And I was talking to one of these Tea Party cult members the other day. He was whining about how the Republican Party needs a new plan. I said, yeah, you know, how's this? Try telling the truth, you holy or now know-it-all fools. You know, as far as I can see, Democrats are talking common sense and economic fundamentals. The problem is facts and figures don't matter to these Tea Party Republicans because they're insane and they're wrong all the time.
Yeah, and this is... Oh, thank you. All right. Ooh, wow, you're awfully yelly this morning.
Yeah.
This is why I need Eric Bowler today, because the mainstream media continues to drive me crazy, like Meet the Press and David Gregory. Because the polls could not show more clearly that this was a resounding defeat for the Republican Party and a win
but
for the president.
There are glitches in Obamacare. There are glitches.
Although that is starting
glitches and anomalies.
That's starting to gain some traction.
The rollout of the Affordable Care.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all they're focusing on. It's like this was...
Well, it's starting to stick, which is
the
problem.
But the point is, let me get my point out.
Okay.
Before you naysay. What? Meet the Press, it's like the storyline. Literally, he opens up, he goes, the shutdown, who are the winners, who are the losers? What? Look at Eddie Paul. What do you mean, who are the winners, who are the losers? Obviously, it was a loss for the country, but it couldn't be any clearer politically who won or lost, and yet they still have to be like, oh, both sides, oh, all this bickering in Washington, who really won and lost? best.
Yes, but there are problems with the
There are glitches and anomalies, which we will address.
I was trying to throw some reality into the conversation.
Huge naysaying reality monger.
They cannot ever give the president credit or a win. They got to go right to, oh, but there's still glitches. Yes, clearly
well, of course,
there are.
The Republicans are doing that. Because they're Republicans. They're the opposition party.
Siri, there's a glitch a day with Siri. How many times do you hear, I am sorry, I am embarrassed about this, but I cannot help you now. What? Why? What are you doing, Siri?
Going to Zumba class, obviously.
Going to Zumba in Atlanta? I'm really sorry about this. I can't take requests now.
I have a Zumba class.
What, are you getting a...
Brazilian.
Right, a Brazilian?
Yeah.
Siri, what? What do you mean, why? When's better for you? And then like she never says exactly when would be good for her? I'm really sorry about this. Well, no, you're not that sorry, because you just did it three times this week. All right, 17 minutes after
okay?
the hour. Fine. Oh. 17 minutes after the
hour. Wow, you worked through a lot this segment.
I did. Well, you were dealing with technical difficulties and being distant and ignoring me.
Oh.
So now I'm feeling
Jim
needy.
Jim wasn't ignoring you.
Now I'm feeling needy.
Sorry, what were you
Pay
saying?
Pay attention to me.
Oh, God.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
Wrong song.
That's not the song. That's not this song. 21 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, there's a sad story. John Boehner, I got overrun by my caucus. Don't you hate when that happens?
That's what happens when your caucus is too big.
Right?
He keeps stepping on his own caucus.
In explaining the origins of the first government shutdown since 1996, House Speaker John Boehner reportedly admitted to President Obama earlier this month that he was overrun. By his Republican caucus. By his giant, unruly caucus.
He had more votes to reopen the government than he had to keep the government shut down.
Right.
Shut up. So why was he overrun by his own caucus when the side that wanted to keep it shut down was smaller?
Because they're bastard people and I hate their ass faces.
Right.
Huh.
This is the saddest sentence in the history of House speakership. I got overrun. That's what happened. Boehner replied as he reportedly tried to exit a White House meeting for a smoke break. I'm guessing it was a smoke and a
drink.
I need to go out for a smoke. He just pulled it out of his pocket. Always clink, clink, clink. He has all these little airline bottles. Excuse me, Mr. President.
He has a bandolero.
I need a smoke.
With tiny little airplane bottles.
Clink, 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 clink. I need a smoke, Mr. President. Clink, 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 clink. Wait, I can do Foley later. We'll do this bit again later. I get some bottles.
Okay.
Clink, 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 clink. John Boehner walking. Airline bottles. I just picture him in coach. Give me some more of those. I got a meeting later at the White House. Okay. That was just sad, right? That was a sad little story.
Yeah.
Poor little feller. Wow, here's a... I mean, somebody was talking about this weekend. It turns out Sean Hannity might have been somewhat, I don't know, disingenuous in a certain story
what?
He did.
Really?
I know.
That never happened.
I know. He got fact-checked, which is, yeah.
Fact-checked within an inch of his life.
Kind of funny. Mother Jones and Salon, both... I think Mother Jones is the first place that did this. Last Friday, Sean Hannity invited three regular families, trademark Fox News, onto a show to relate their horror stories about premium hikes and business-killing regulations under Obamacare.
Which hasn't even really started.
No, it hasn't.
So they fact-checked everything. They literally did all the work that like producers generally would do, you know, at a television show.
Exactly. You know, Fox News has a research department.
Right. It's kind of a big-time show.
Yeah.
Right. So they fact-checked all of the stories. Turns out one of them was apparently just lying. The other two had not even checked the exchanges where they would have found they could get better coverage for considerably less than they're paying now. So, and when you hear the details of this, you have to hope that, you know, our country's gotten so segmented. A lot of people only watch Fox News or they only, you know, watch MSNBC. And you go, you hope these people actually heard this story so they could actually get covered.
One of the families outright said that they weren't even going to check to see if they could get cheaper because they hate Obamacare so much.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And they did the work for them.
Right.
This reporter did the work that went on the exchanges and found. And this is like, are you really going to torpedo your family's best interest just to make a point? And because they just said, oh, I don't want anything to do with it, Obamacare. Because these idiots like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, who can afford to pay their costs out of pocket if they want, you're going to let them scare you off of getting affordable insurance because you hate Obama?
And some of these families could save thousands of dollars.
I will give you the fun facts.
Okay,
this
then.
Salon, inside the Fox News lie machine, I fact-checked Sean Hannity on Obamacare. Eric Stern did this. And it's, and it's like these people that call here with their specific stories. Trademark, hello. I'm a small business owner whose business has been adversely impacted by Obamacare. First, I spoke with Paul Cox of North Carolina. He and his wife, Michelle, had lamented to Hannity that because of Obamacare, they can't grow their construction business, and they have kept their employees below a certain number of hours, so they are part-timers. Obamacare has no effect on businesses with 49 employees or less. In our brief conversation, Paul revealed he only has 4 employees. Why the cutback on his workforce? Well, he said, I haven't been forced to do so. It's just that I've chosen to do so.
Obamacare.
I have to deal
with... you forced me to choose.
To deal with increased costs. What costs and how, I asked him, is any of it due to Obamacare? There was a long pause. You'll have to gather that information and bring it back for you.
Benghazi.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
After which he said he'd call me back. He never did.
Nope.
There's only one Obamacare requirement that applies to a company of his size. Workers must be notified of the existence of healthcare.gov website, the insurance exchange. That's all.
Yep.
Next, I
tyranny.
That doesn't cost anything.
Allison Denges, she told Hannity she pays over $13,000 a year in premiums. Like the other guests, she said she'd gotten a letter. Oh, she got the letter from Obamacare.
Yeah.
Didn't Obamacare call somebody right before they called our show?
Called a surgeon.
I just got it. Right. Hello, I'm a surgeon. Obamacare just called.
Hello, this is Obamacare calling.
To say boo. She said, right. She just recently got a letter from Blue Cross saying her policy was being terminated. A new ACA-compliant policy would take its place. She says this shows Obama lied, blah, blah, blah.
What?
Okay, they're now paying around $1,100 a month for a policy, this writer researched. One of their 2 children is not covered under the policy because she has a pre-existing condition. I asked Allison if she'd shopped on the exchange to see what a plan might cost under the new law. She said she hadn't done so because she heard the website wasn't working. So this is the problem.
Wow.
By putting out all of this is exactly what they're hoping to do, to scare people off. I shopped on the exchange for Allison and Kurt. I found they'd be able to get a plan for around $7,600, which would include coverage for their uninsured daughter. This would be about a 60% reduction from what they would have paid on the pre-Obamacare market. Finally,
tyranny.
I called Robbie and Tina Robinson from Franklin, Tennessee. Blah, blah, blah. On Hannity, the couple said they, too, were recently notified their Blue Cross policy would be expiring for lack of ACA compliance. They told Hannity the replacement plans Blue Cross offering was would come with a rate increase of 50 or even 75%.
Ooh,
that's scary.
Yeah.
When I spoke to Robbie, he said he and Tina had been paying a little over $600 a month for their plan, almost $10,000 a year. At the ACA-compliant policy, will cost 50 to 75% more. They said this information was related to them by their insurance agent. Had they shopped on the exchange yet, I asked? No, Tina said. Nor would they. They oppose Obamacare and want nothing to do with it.
Because
fair
we know
enough,
it's bad.
But they should know that I found a plan for them that at most $3,700 a year.
Yeah.
63% less than their current bill.
Damn you, Obamacare!
My God.
Morons.
God. And take Obama's name off and they'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's call
no.
it Bob Dole Care and everything will be
Let
fine.
Me help
Heritage Care.
After you. Oh, no. Why, thank you.
And of course, Linda.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Linda Beauregard says that if Obamacare goes through, Hillary's going to win the election. Oh, my stars.
Oh, vapors. Heavens. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would have gone so far?
Of course he did. She'll do anything for attention.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Leap up at the rude pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Thank you for pointing out the latest fiscal conservative. Chris Christie just wasted $12 to $24 million in New Jersey taxpayer money.
Yeah, it was really pathetic. You walked into the voting booth, and there it was, just one thing. Two seconds. Pushed a button, pushed another button, out.
Yes, Cory Booker, please.
Yep,
right, and
exactly.
You were saying, because he said he couldn't possibly wait 3 more weeks for, you know, when his election is.
Because he'll only win by 15 points instead of 30 against Buono. It's ridiculous. It's just so wimpy.
You said that he is devouring her like he eats a pizza slice on the Jersey Shore, which is
just a slice.
Quite elaborative.
You know what? Yes, and that's a fat joke because he's fat.
I understand. Thank you for pointing that out. That was not quite obvious. Oh, by the way, this here was a fun fact. Christie was just endorsed by the New Jersey Food Council because no. Thank you for that.
Well, who else has done more for New Jersey food?
Exactly.
By the way, that's another fat joke because he's
so fat.
I
understand. Thank you for your subtlety. Now, Rude.
Oh, Rude Pundit has never been subtle. Come on.
Rude. But explain, because obviously he just wasted, as you say, New Jersey's tax dollars for no other reason than ego and fear.
Right. Well, you see, he could have, because of the special election for the Senate to replace, you know, Frank Laudenberg after he died. And so he had a choice. He could appoint somebody and then have the election, on election day. Or he could hold a special election, which is what he decided to do on a Wednesday, which makes it less than 3 weeks before election day when Chris Christie happens to be running. Because I guess he didn't want those Cory Booker voters to actually be in the voting booth when they had to decide on.
And by Cory Booker voters. What do you mean?
I'm going to go with, well, politely Democrats. Impolitely, let's go black people.
In case you haven't noticed, black people.
The urban vote.
Right.
The euphemism vote.
Yes. Whatever.
Trust me, I lost a radio job. We're going to go more urban for our morning show.
Damn. Right. So
I get it.
So it ended up costing at least $12 million, up to the New York Times said $24 million to do this special election, and only, I forget, it was some ridiculous, like 24% turnout.
Yeah.
Which is low even for special elections in New Jersey. And, you know, and then this is at a time when Christie's rating things like the Clean Air Fund, which he just took $10 million out to plug a hole in the budget. Back in April.
Oh, and by the way, let's add to the tab. How much did he spend trying to stop gay marriage in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah, the millions of dollars that he's still spending
right.
to do it, even though gay marriage started, you know, at midnight on Sunday.
That's our fiscal conservative. Thank you,
yep.
Ms. Christie. All right, so let's move on to, you said, you were talking about the president's press conference, and you said he held back from spiking the ball and doing an end zone dance. However, what he did say was pretty sweet. Essentially it boiled down to, hey, you yahoos and nut jobs, this is what it looks like when someone's actually trying to destroy the nation. And he did. I loved the win an election line, right?
Yeah, win an election. Why don't you actually just step up and see if you Tea Party nuts can actually win the presidency and, you know, put your god Ted Cruz in office, with Vice President creepy-eyed Rand Paul. But, you know, the other thing about that press conference is that I just love the just the modulated anger.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it's just the ludicrousness of the GOP saying, you know what, we think in our worst case scenario, sometime down the road, Obamacare may end up costing jobs and costing money. But instead, in the immediate, we're going to cost the American people jobs and money through a shutdown, $24 billion.
By the by, you were saying, I also love the part about him talking about our credibility in the world and our standing with other countries, that sort of stuff. You know, you basically said, in other words, Republicans who took the nation to the brink of disaster are at best anarchist terrorists or at worst traitors. Because, you know, as he was saying, what he finished by saying, don't break what our predecessors spent over two centuries building. That's not being faithful to what this country is about. It was pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a time when if you'd have sat there, you'd have wondered, why aren't they arresting these people?
Yeah.
That know they are doing harm to the United States.
Yeah.
They aren't, this isn't even a question. They are doing harm to the United States. And so,
when they keep saying, how do we get the country moving? I know, we send the Tea Party caucus to prison for treason. That's how we get things done again, right?
Right. And you know, you want to have this, let's have this fight. Let's have this discussion. Well, we had it. You know, we had this discussion. It was called the election of 2012. And their point of view lost. But for some reason, I've also described this as a kind of slow-moving coup. And Obama stood up to them and said, and it was really one of the great moments of his presidency, just simply saying no to the bullies.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, there's always some random fun facts in your Rood column that I did not know. You set out drinking late with some unfurloughed workers from the Statue of Liberty. Surprising thing, they told me, under her robe, her pubes have been shaped into a torch shape. I did not know that.
Wow.
Well, you know, there's various places you can bring the huddled masses.
And who got that job to do the shaving?
I don't know, but you know, she looked a little irritated, you know, having to wait 16 days for a touch-up.
She should have used Nair, a great big huge vat of Nair.
No, hair removal devices. Thank you.
Oh, no. Yes.
Type Stephanie in the box.
That's right.
That's right. The copper depilator, or whatever it's called.
Right.
Depilitator.
Now, Rood, by the way, I leave it to you you hit the same things irritate us, which is the other reason I love you. I talked about this last week watching Representative Sean Duffy, former reality star, on, as you call it, Morning Starbucks with Joe Scarborough's beady eyes. But did I not say this to you guys last week? I'm like, this is so 8-year-old. Is it, it's, you know, why wouldn't you join Obamacare? If it's good enough for Americans, why isn't it good enough for you? Like, right? It's ridiculous.
I mean, I was watching it, I try not to yell at the TV because most of the time it doesn't answer back. But you know, I'm watching this, and I just thought, what is wrong with you? This is so stupid. This is like saying, well, you know, if food stamps are good enough for poor people, why aren't we all on food stamps?
Right. He's just why isn't Obamacare if it's so great? It's just it was so juvenile. And as you say, here's the answer to your question. It's because the law is meant to cover people who don't have access to health insurance, you dumb.
It's meant to be something
for people who have nothing, people who aren't poor enough for Medicaid or have pre-existing conditions that prevent them from getting insurance. If it was meant for everyone, we would call it single payer or universal health care or socialized medicine or the thing that works in every other country, but we're too deluded to enact here. Because, as you say, it was so childish, like saying, if you like Obamacare so much, why don't you marry it? That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I'm watching thinking, are we in eighth grade? What is this?
Yeah. So, you know what? You know what would be awesome? Actually, you know what would be awesome? Yeah, let's all go on Obamacare. Let's all do it, you know? But let's give everybody's job that provides them with health care. Let's take the money that the company is using for health care and instead give it back to the workers. You know, I bet most major corporations would love that.
Yeah.
You know, let's pay everybody a little more, and we don't have to mess with this anymore. We can actually just do the things that businesses do in other sane countries.
Yeah, right. So you say, sure, go ahead and cite the few examples of companies who've been total holes to their employees, but 96% of companies aren't affected by the Affordable Care Act, except in that it will lower health insurance costs overall, and the 4% that are affected, nearly 95% of them won't be bothered by it. But you say, no, really, go ahead and dig out your exceptions, like your invisible welfare queens and phantom voter fraud cases. I mean, and we, I'm sure you saw the fact-checking Sean Hannity and the three families.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Who've been, you know, horrified by the nightmare of Obamacare, trademark Fox News, and it's all complete crap.
Yeah, let me give you my own anecdote. My sister and her family were on a Cobra right now that's costing $1,500 a month. When Obamacare starts, their costs will be lowered at least 50%.
Wow.
And yeah, and so.
Oh,
and,
why isn't it 60%?
Yeah.
If you dig this.
Yeah, they were promised that in a cupcake.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, and I, it just kills me. I mean, we were talking about that I get there are glitches with the, you know, with the website. I'm actually looking at a headline right in front of me, Ruth, that says Apple sued over iPhone iOS upgrade. Because, guess why? There were glitches.
Right.
I mean, it's, but I mean, they don't even give the president the huge win that he obviously had on this whole mess. It's right to, oh, let's focus on what's wrong with the website, right?
Right. And you know what else is their goal for the month of October was, and this is going back before the glitches, their goal for the month of October was 500,000 people signed up. We're not at the end of October yet. And do you know how many people have signed up? Nearly 500,000. So yeah. You know what? Just go F yourself with your glitches, you know?
And you know what kills me is how Kentucky is becoming the model of the and most people in the country have signed up on the exchanges in Kentucky because there's a Democratic governor that's actively helping,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's also a second term governor. So he's also, you know, he's at the right. I don't give a damn stage.
Right, but he said that the best thing. He goes, I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you don't like the president, but see what you can do for your family.
Yeah.
This isn't about me. This is about the president. Go see what you can do for yourself. And people are.
Yeah. Well, you know, have you ever been to Kentucky? I mean, seriously, most of the places you ride around in Kentucky, you think, oh, well, you guys need to go to the doctor.
Well, they need more of a dental plan
more
there.
Dental than anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Those face and arm scabs sure do need help.
I think should cut back on the hot brown.
All right, I want
no one
is.
Knows what that is.
No. All right.
But they have it in Kentucky.
But there's tons of images of that conjures up.
Yeah, I don't really want to know.
Rudeness. Great rude stuff. Talk to you next week, honey.
Bye.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Depilitator. Is that when you shave a potato?
Right. 46 minutes after the hour.
A great
hour.
Big copper no-no.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hello, Kevin in D.C.
Oh, good morning, Alabaster Angel. Do you know what's sexier than hearing your voice in the morning?
What is it, Mandingo Warrior?
Not a damn thing.
Bam. Thank you, honey. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, once again, the liberal media strikes again. A couple of years ago, Rachel Maddow did an excellent segment about how even though when Obama caught Bin Laden, if there was any week that it should be all about him and the Democrats, there was a 9-1 advantage with, you know, guests on the Sunday morning shows.
Yeah.
And now
they had all Bush administration people on after he killed Bin Laden just to talk about how it was really their victory. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now here we are once again. Well, this is a complete and utter victory for the man and Democrats. And the polls show, even in one poll, I believe it was the CNN that I just saw, where a majority of Republicans want the Democrats to have control of the House. And yet, since Friday with the USA Today article where they said that idiot Cruz was one of the winners
right.
Up until this morning, they have gotten most of the access. What in the world?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that they would give access to the people who the polls say want to run Congress?
Kev, yesterday I actually heard somebody said, you know, blah, 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 with the, you know, results in the polls and whatever, you know, the president, blah, blah. But is that really leadership? And I was, like, screaming at the TV, yes! Yes!
Yeah. You know what they mean by leadership means doing what we say. If you would just lead us to the way that most of the country doesn't want, then you'd be showing leadership. But, and by the way,
you know,
McCain,
I got to talk to
him. He was on saying, you know, the speech that Obama gave, which was very mild, that you just talked about with Rude a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I just think it's a shame him not being able to resist having a victory lap. But so when you guys get the most cruel, vicious things on him, that's okay. But when he gets the most mildest rebuke, that's a victory lap?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And, I'm going to talk to Eric Bowler about this. But I have to say, the polls at least hearten me, Kev, that despite the media constantly covering this, like both sides are to blame and, oh, this is partisan bickering, the American people obviously get it. Right?
Well, that's true. And now I want, you know, Hollywood, yourself, whoever, you know, is in media, remind people, because unfortunately we have such a memory hole. You know, our memories go down the memory hole in a couple of days, but remind everyone of the debacle every day from now into the midterms. Here in Virginia, I'm certainly heartened that it appears that Cretan that wouldn't even have he wouldn't allow himself to be photographed standing next to Cruz. It looks like Cuccinelli's going to lose, and I hope that goes right on through the midterms next year.
Yep, absolutely. And I'll be back for a sexy liberal victory lap where you and I will, you know, have a little brown sugar.
Oh, I've been waiting. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that's been getting me through these dark days.
Yes.
You're gonna.
And I definitely want to have an encore.
You're gonna totally Filner her, aren't you?
Well, or maybe Wiener me.
Stephanie gets the brown sugar. You get powdered sugar.
Yes. Hey, there you go. All right. You know, we are givers, though. Even though
we are.
Yes, even though we won this politically by a landslide, even though it was a loss for America, we still want to raise money for Ski.
Louis Gohmert's a hero.
Great strides have been made.
And Michelle Bachmann.
But we still do not have a cure for Obama derangement syndrome.
Park rangers are the enemy.
And as the Thanksgiving Day holiday approaches,
and Smokey Bear's a socialist,
we become more aware, thanks to our in-laws, uncles, and cousins.
My cousin and I have agreed to see other people.
We all know about Skeeter, but we also all know our own Skeeter.
We were not compatible in the Flat and Scruggs personality test.
This holiday season, do your part by donating Toys for Skeeters.
All they have to do is run the government like a household.
While the Salvation Army may be in front of the stores with their bells and donation kettles, remember the entire Walmart is full of Skeeters.
Looking at guns and ammo.
Do your part. Help this season with Toys for Skeeters.
Okay, I got the speak down. I'm working on the spell.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Toys for Skeeter.
Yep.
See that guy right there? What does he look like? Skeeter.
Herpter.
He looks like a herpter. Look
he looked like he.
Look at that guy.
He's in the middle of saying either herp or derp.
Right.
Die.
You know who he is?
Who?
He's the Oregon Tea Party founder who hasn't paid his mortgage in 3 years.
Oh.
He's one of those sort of, you know, personal responsibility types.
Yeah.
For other people.
Yes. Greg sends me this story. Apparently, not only does the Tea Party want to default on our bills, some members don't even pay their own bills. Kuzminik is his name. I don't know his first name.
Why is he still in his
Mr.
house?
Kuzminik told the host of a TV show there that the forced budget austerity would help Americans return to, quote, fiscal and personal responsibility.
Wow. Aha!
He hasn't made a mortgage payment in over 3 years, and the process servers can't find him. It's that kind of responsibility.
Well, he needs other people. Not him.
Right.
Process service can't find him, yet he appeared in a herp derp picture.
Since then.
They're not trying very hard.
Curtis in Las Vegas. You're on the stage. He's the one in the hat and the tea bags. Hi, Curtis.
I heard you guys talking about Sean Hannity earlier. Sean Hannity's a joke, number one. Number two, I used to watch Fox News just to see what the other side was saying, but I can't even watch it now because, I mean, they are just completely out there. But I just wanted to, like I told your screener, Stephanie, I would like for you, if you go on CNN and stuff, and you debate some of these people on TV or some of these other talk shows. Like I told you, Scooter, last time I checked,
I'm on CNN pretty much every week.
Okay, well, let them know that the last time I checked and you checked, Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act is more popular than the Republican Party as a whole or Congress.
Yeah.
So when they want to start talking about polls and what the people think, last time I checked, Obamacare is more popular than Congress, than the Senate, than the Republican Party as a whole, and the Tea Party.
Yep.
And Ted Cruz. So, you know, when they want to start throwing out polls and numbers, just throw that one back at them.
Yeah.
I like to hear what they have to say about
that. Yeah, exactly. And I love the headline, Republicans won't stop targeting Obamacare anytime soon. Good strategy. Good. That's working really well for you thus far. I would keep that up. I mean, seriously, and the more popular it gets, good. Just keep, you know, that to me is just, it's become obsession. Mm-hmm. It has become Obama derangement syndrome, hasn't it, Skeeter? Only one man to help us through all that. Eric Wallert of Media Matters next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have a little breaking news out of New Jersey. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has dropped the gay marriage appeal, allowing same-sex unions to continue on permanently.
Aww.
There was a little concern that he was going to still appeal and it would go into the situation where some were married and some weren't.
Oh.
But
maybe he's embarrassed about how much taxpayer money he's already wasted on having the special election 3 weeks before his election. So maybe he didn't want to spend any more taxpayer money fighting gay marriage, which has already started in New Jersey.
Yeah, started last night at 12:01.
He is a man ahead of his time, isn't he? Why, looky, it's an unsolicited testimonial. Ryan in Collingswood, New Jersey. Speaking of Jersey, Steph and the Mooks, previously I've sent you heartfelt unsolicited testimonies about the Stephcast, of which I have a year's worth on my computer.
Oh, wow.
Yay. This time, however, I purchased Rocky Mountain Mike's Politically Incoherent via the Amazon MP3 downloader, and I find it very, very funny. I also find it more powerful than the intransigent schadenfreude of Les Miserables. I think he did that on purpose that I would mispronounce three words in a row.
Yeah.
And put the emphasis on the wrong syllables.
That was deft.
Les Miserables.
Intransigent.
It is a joke about my pronunciation being Miserables.
Bleh.
Bleh. Okay. Who has excellent enunciation? Yes. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard, sir.
Hey, good morning.
And thank you because you just tweeted that this weekend.
I did.
Governor Christie's office tell taxpayers, New Jersey taxpayers, how much state money he wasted appealing and trying to block gay marriage.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm. I mean, as this story has unfolded over states across the country in years, over years, you know, we've seen these court rulings and the rolling back, et cetera. I mean, it's hard to pick any politician who has bungled this more badly in his home state than Chris Christie did.
Yeah.
You know, vetoed the legislation, went to this cockamamie idea that any important issue facing New Jersey must face a public referendum, which begs the question, why do we need a governor if we're just going to put everything to public referendum? And then the courts, you know, just like every other court, essentially, every other state Supreme Court that's seen this case, has said, oh, by the way, you have no argument here. You have not shown how the state would be injured. We're going ahead. And then the morning that people are getting married, he comes forward and says, oh, we're withdrawing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a complete lack of leadership, but my point is, boy, you don't read about that in these puffy profiles that Beltway journalists can't stop writing about Chris Christie and how he's such a great leader. You don't read about the fact that New Jersey has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, and you don't read about how he completely bungled this issue of gay marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. You also tweeted this weekend, oh boy, the Limbaugh projection is on turbo today. Obama's angry and has a chip on his shoulder.
Oh boy.
In the wake of the shutdown, especially whenever Obama appears on television, you know, the whole right-wing media noise machine has to sort of set aside 5 or 6 hours just to like yell, just to sort of be angry about how mean and nasty and arrogant he is. So, you know, obviously in the wake of the shutdown debacle, one of the ways Rush Limbaugh and others sort of draw some solace is they, you know, complain that Obama's so mean and they don't like his tone and things like that. You know, completely ignoring the substance of the shutdown fiasco.
And as you said, you cannot make this up. With shutdown over, Fox is back on hashtag Benghazi.
Yes.
I mean, it really, and Chris, you were saying they barely sort of covered the shutdown because obviously anything bad for Republicans,
right.
They just don't know how to cover it exactly, right?
Yeah, and Media Matters pointed this out a couple times last week, you know, straight to Benghazi. And and you know, we always wonder, like, these Fox viewers, I mean, they must realize they're just sort of being played with, but they have the sort of unspoken agreement with Fox to be played with and manipulated because they want to. But, I mean, if anyone needed any proof, further proof, that Benghazi has been turned into Fox as nothing more than this sort of partisan ploy, I mean, it literally was not mentioned one day during the shutdown. The shutdown collapses, and there it pops back up.
Yep.
You know, like the Groundhog Day game.
But, you know,
they just start beating that drum again.
Yeah, yeah. And I need you to get me through this. The both sides, blame both sides coverage in general. You said first of all, you said, behold your liberal media. CBS John Dickerson announces Boehner and Cruz improved their standing via the shutdown. I mean. And you wrote a whole piece on CNN's blame sides shutdown coverage. I mean, it really is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately for CNN, I think it was just too compelling a target for them. You know, they love this. Oh, MSNBC is to the left, Fox is to the right, so we're going to be right down the middle, and that's great. You know, just do it. Just be great journalists and just tell the facts and the stories. But here was the shutdown, which was not a right down the middle story. You know, it was a 90% Republican Civil War extremist radical story, and they kept tugging it over to the middle of the road, and they kept, you know, desperately trying. You know, they had this sort of faux populism, you know, these bums in Washington, they won't get done. And I let off my piece, what I thought was just an amazing example. You know, on the day that the shutdown was being, you know, the word got out that they're going to come to a deal, Ashley Banfield had James Clyburn on, you know, a senior Democrat, and she says, well, forgive me for not popping champagne corks for this deal. She said, it's because of people like you that were in this crisis.
Like, as you're right. Wait,
really?
What?
James Clyburn, Democrat leadership is the reason the government is shut down, is the reason the Republican Party has voted 40 times to try to repeal a law that's been passed 3 years ago. It's like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you say if ever there was a test case for when it was plain both sides were not to blame, the shutdown was it.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been more clear. And unfortunately, we've seen years and years of this sort of bogus, you know, both sides are to blame. And I think Republicans thought, you know, they had a shot. They realized, you know, they understand the media environment they're playing in, and the media environment they're playing is really, no matter how extremist they are, the press, the D.C. press,
right,
is going to bend over backwards to portray this as a why can't they get along? There's gridlock in Washington. There's this logjam. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of impeachment, and it kind of reminds me of some previous crises where the public's already through it. You know, they might have been told both sides are to blame, but
I was just gonna say that's the silver lining, isn't it, Eric?
Is.
That despite this kind of coverage, I was just saying that last hour, the American people, according to the polls, they get it. Despite you know, oh, there's this partisan bickering, you know, storyline.
Yeah, no, they get it. They understand that they do not send people to Washington to shut down the government. That is never going to be an argument that ever works with the vast majority of the American people. That is not why the government is there to function. You can debate about how it functions, but this very extremist notion that the government should be shut down, it's never going to fly.
And as you
no
say,
matter, no matter how you know, and how often it's tried to be dressed, you know, people try to dress it up.
And you know, obviously the people got what you said. You summed it up by saying the shutdown was a crisis orchestrated by Republicans, period. You know, and you say the CNN regularly suggested President Obama was the central cause of the tumultuous shutdown because he wasn't willing to just sit down and work out a deal with his political foes. And you did give a special mention that Wolf Blitzer, you know, sometimes pushed back, but we were laughing. It had to be, who was that Republican that was on that literally said less than 10 people signed up for Obamacare? And Wolf Blitzer, he had to at least say, he said, I'm sorry, what, you mean You mean single digits? Are you trying to? I mean, it had to be that ridiculous.
Even,
like, right, no, wait even, a minute. Wait
even,
a minute.
Right, even that. But, you know, what CNN was really clinging to, particularly midway through when it shifted from Obamacare to the debt ceiling crisis, they really start clinging to the GOP talking point. Why won't Obama negotiate? Why won't he sit down at the table? Why won't he talk to them? And I realized, you know, that phrasing was all wrong. It was really, why won't he renegotiate? He had already negotiated.
Right.
They had already agreed on all
right.
The numbers.
You say it ignores the fact Obama already compromised regarding the budget. And at the last minute, Republicans demanded that in order for them to okay the budget deal they already had agreed to, Obama needed to defund his signature legislative achievement of his first term, a bill passed into law 3 years ago. That's exactly it. And you're absolutely right, you know, that they kept, and you cite specific examples of why won't he negotiate.
Right. Why won't he come to the table? Isn't that what compromise is all about? If they were being accurate, they would have said, why won't Obama renegotiate? Why won't he? Because that's what the Republicans were demanding that he do. We had a deal. We blow it up. Now come back into us. But CNN really adopted that for a few days. Why won't he negotiate? Why won't he talk? He looks like he's hands off. And the problem is, again, that was like that language is straight out of the RNC.
And you're,
that's what they want. That's what they wanted the discussion to be.
No, I know. And the line you write here, the Republican demand was utterly extremist and without precedent in modern congressional history. I mean, I was talking about the moment between, I think it was Paul Krugman and Peggy Noonan, and of course
yes.
He's like, oh, this happens all the time, and he goes, this has never happened. I mean,
and then her response was, oh, well, the feelings might be heightened, but it's business as usual.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, okay, Peggy, if you say so.
You know, my usual irritant, of course, Meet the Press, it opens yesterday with shutdown over, you know, who were there really any winner? Who were the winners or losers? Who checked any poll?
Right.
What do you mean? Like, you can't give any...
Oh, but, you know, and I tweeted that thing about, Dickerson at CBS saying, you know, Boehner and Cruz really came out looking good. That was very common late last week. John Boehner got a very, very soft landing from the D.C. press. You know, he's in better standing with conservatives now. He really, you know, the final conclusion is what he wanted. It was just sort of problematic to get there. Completely ignoring the context that he shut the government down for 16 days just to keep his job. What was the number? It cost $24 billion?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. I mean, and
literally just so he could keep his speakership job. And there was a lot of commentary last week that, oh, John Boehner really came out looking good. Could you imagine?
Right.
If a Democrat had shut down the government for 16 days over the Iraq War or something,
yeah,
no, he would not have been. He or she would not have been deemed any winner.
My favorite line in your piece is quoting Ashley Banfield: "Which one of you two parties is going to let go so that you stop tearing us apart?" And as you say, Democrats are tearing the country apart by trying to keep the government open.
Again, you know, I don't know if it's knee jerk or what, but it's certainly. And again, I also pointed out that CNN, you know, 16 days of coverage, they obviously did. It wasn't all bad, so I'm not trying to paint them in a,
right.
You know, with a broad stroke, the way you can with Fox News
right.
when it's mindlessly bad. But there certainly seemed to be a real concerted effort on CNN to stick to some sort of assigned script. That both parties are to blame. You know, we're going to be the watchdog. We're going to call them both out. And again, but this was the story. It was literally like 93%, 7%. You know, this was not a 50-50 story. It wasn't even a 60-40 story. And they sort of created this false impression, in order to, you know, make it seem like, gosh, you know, these two sides just can't get along.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know who contributes to that, Eric? Me. I'm on every week. Person, Stephanie, what do you think about this side of it? I'm like, there are no sides. All right, Derek Bowler, great stuff as always. See you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad. I got
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad.
ever played the James Brown drop before?
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like it's the first time ever.
No, we played this before.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president, in about an hour, will talk about the glitches, Jim, and Nomal.
In about an hour. And Nomal.
On the Fort Hall.
Horrible car act.
And you said Facebook is down, so it needs to be repealed immediately.
That's
today.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now it's starting to spread like wildfire across the internet that Facebook is down.
Yeah. People are freaking out.
Yep.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Repeal it. Bring back MySpace. No.
No. Oh, no.
No. Says no.
Everybody's computer says no to that. All right. Jack Lew, Treasury Secretary, yesterday talking about the goal.
I think that there's no one more frustrated than the president at the difficulty in the website.
Jack Lew again yesterday. He was on Meet the Press.
The test of is going to be in January, how many people are enrolled and what's the quality of service that they're getting. And we're confident we're going to be on track to do that.
Yeah, if people like Sean Hannity don't keep scaring people away, that was what was such a great story we did last hour where a reporter went in and fact-checked these three couples he had on who were, you know, whose lives have been ruined by Obamacare.
Whatever.
And one of them was lying, and the other two hadn't even checked the exchanges, and when they did the work for them, their premiums would have been cut in like half.
So more than half, 63%.
So I hope
decrease.
More people listen to the governor of Kentucky, who says, it's not about me, it's not about the president. See what you can do for your family.
Yep.
Go check it out.
When personal
Alan
responsibility.
Shepard, when Alan Shepard went into space in the Mercury capsule, he wasn't anywhere near landing on the moon.
Right.
So we didn't mean we had to just give up because the first flight didn't get us
right.
anywhere near there.
The one
didn't even go into orbit.
Woman on Hannity goes, "Oh, I heard the website doesn't work." Oh, okay. Like, don't check back later or anything. Okay.
There's no point in checking back later because it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, it's broken forever.
It's completely broken.
Okay, Senator Ted Cruz,
Obamacare is the biggest job killer in this country.
What?
And the problem is Washington, D.C. isn't listening to us.
Right. You're not listening to us when I say things like...
But you hear what he said? Obamacare is the biggest job killer in
right.
America?
What?
Right.
Based on what?
Right.
Based on absolutely nothing. Based on his ass, which he pulled it directly out of.
Ooh, but he was making the fight. He shoved them into the bleachers, the other Republicans. He said it was all because the Senate Republicans, I don't know, were like bombers of the House Republicans or something. I don't know. Fight.
When you've got Senate Republicans saying, we cannot win, we will surrender, this is a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It sabotages the effort.
Listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
No, you sabotage the whole country. And cost us $24 billion.
Yeah.
When are you going to pay that back, Ted?
By the way, Harry Reid said, in an effort to help him run for president, he has done some stuff that's really damaging to our country. He has hurt average Americans. The government being shut down for 14, 15 days has been very hurtful to people, not only for the people that work for government, but the people who work around government. He also said Cruz was attempting to raise money through his political stunt and expressed his confidence that when Congress has to take this matter up again in a few months, Republicans won't try to start up the same losing battle.
And why did
again.
Those park rangers shut down the monuments? Why would they do
Because they're the
that?
Enemy. Mitch McConnell says it won't happen again. He said there's no education in the second kick of a mule.
No education in the second kick of a mule. I wouldn't know because I have a shell which protects me from mule kicks.
How would he, exactly? How would he know?
Turtles don't
shell.
Have knees. They can't kick.
I don't know. All right. I just thought that was a charming, maybe it's a Kentucky phrase. Okay. By the way, Paul Krugman writes about the not-so-fun facts, the damage done.
Mm-hmm.
As you were mentioning, Jim, it's not just the $24 billion. He said it's important to recognize the economic damage from obstruction and extortion didn't start when the GOP shut down the government. On the contrary, it's been an ongoing process dating back to the Republican takeover of the House in 2010, and the damage is large. Unemployment in America would be far lower than it is if the House majority hadn't done so much to undermine recovery. This is true. A widely cited report estimated that crisis-driven fiscal policy, which the president talked about,
right.
Which has been the norm since 2010, have subtracted about 1% off the U.S. growth rate in the past 3 years. This implies cumulative economic losses, the value of goods and services America could and should have produced but didn't, of around $700 billion. The firm also estimated the unemployment is 1.4%. Percentage points higher than it would have been in the absence of political confrontation, enough to imply the unemployment rate now would be below 6% instead of above 7. What's more, the report didn't take into account the effect other bad policies that are more or less a direct result of the Republican takeover in 2010. Two big bads stand out: letting payroll taxes rise and sharply reducing aid to the unemployed, even though there are still three times as many people looking for work as there are job openings. Both actions have reduced the purchasing power of American workers, weakening consumer demand, further reducing
growth.
Thanks, well Republicans. Done. Nicely done. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
People seem to be talking over me, which is fascinating and rare and forbidden.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jim, who said, putting it all together, it's a good guess that those estimates of damage from political hostage-taking understate the true harm done. Elections have consequences, and one consequence of Republican victories in the 2010 midterms has been a still weak economy when we could have and should have been on the well on the way to a full recovery. Who said that?
Ted Cruz.
No. Bad guess. That was Paul Krugman, a piece on the damage
very
done,
bad
which
guess.
Is a lot more than just the $24 billion from this shutdown, as we were we've been talking about all morning. You know, and he, no one writes about it better than he does. It really is. It makes you wonder, like, and also realize how important 2014 is going to be. And he says part of the answer is that the party remains determined to wage top-down class warfare in an economy where such warfare is particularly destructive. Slashing benefits to the unemployed because you think it's, they have it too easy is cruel even in normal times, but it has the side effect of destroying jobs when the economy is already depressed. Defending tax cut for the wealthy while happily scrapping tax cuts for ordinary workers means redistributing money from people likely to spend it to people who are likely to sit on it. How many times can economists talk about this? And then
economists, what do they know? About the economy.
He said we should also acknowledge the power of bad ideas. And, Jim, you say this all the time about austerity. Back in 2011, triumphant Republicans eagerly adopted the concept already popular in Europe of expansionary austerity.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
that
sound
great? Greece.
Yeah. The notion that cutting spending would actually boost the economy by increasing confidence. Experience then has thoroughly refuted this concept. Mm-hmm. Across the advanced world, big spending cuts have associated with deeper slumps. In fact, the International Monetary Fund eventually issued what amounted to a mea culpa, admitting that it greatly underestimated the harm that spending cuts inflict. As you may have noticed, however, today's Republicans aren't big on revising their views.
Read
in the
shock doctrine.
Right, of contrary evidence. Mm-hmm. Most of the blame for the wrong turn we took on economic policy rests with the extremists and extortionists controlling the House. Things could have been worse. This week we managed to avoid driving off a cliff, but we're still on the road to nowhere.
Although,
2014, vote.
I wouldn't worry about it because apparently in 2032 there's a giant asteroid that could hit the Earth.
Oh, awesome. So at least that's good news. Okay, let's go to Jim in Vegas here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Mama, hey, I live in Las Vegas. When you bringing out the sexy liberal tour out here and liven up this town a little bit?
Vegas? What an idea. Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Go. Road trip.
Hey, Mama, we have a Republican governor here, and he's not one of the crazy ones, and he embraced the partnership with the federal Obamacare program a long time ago, after fighting it in the beginning, but then he embraced it. On the first day of October, I got online. I haven't had health insurance in 7 years. I got right on the website, the healthcare.gov, and the first question is what state you live in. Went to Nevada. I had two links, which the governor has been advertising on TV. Click on Nevada, the silver seven state, and another link, and I checked out a bunch of different policies. I didn't have any problem with the website. I got on the first day. I was looking. A couple of the insurance companies didn't have the exact figures I was looking for, so I waited 4 or 5 more days. I'm back on the website.
There's a glitch and anomaly on my phone line.
It must be repealed.
Repeal these phone lines immediately.
They're not working. Phones aren't working. They're glitchy. Get rid of them.
That's not what Senator Mitch McLiplis said.
Obamacare is indeed a train wreck. I mean, a visit to the website is kind of like a trip to the Department of Motor Vehicles in your state.
It's a joke from 1981.
DMV jokes? People are still doing DMV jokes?
Although the DMV does suck. It's a soul-sucking
experience. That's why there's the auto club.
Was wasn't so bad last time I went. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Stephanie, Mooks, you are the reason I get up in the morning. Not that I have three kids, they'll wake me up, but
oh, screw
God
them.
Bless you.
Thank
each
you.
And every one of you. Listen, I'm a media technology strategist, and I'm going to tell you and give you the last word on why Obamacare Online is messed up. First of all, I don't know if any of you have had any experience with the General Services Administration, but that's how the government essentially procures small businesses to do work for the government. That is a giant cluster F of problems simply because the mechanism by which you get to do that work is very convoluted. Plus, their technical requirements are all over the map, depending on who the procurement guy is and the general system of development and distribution for those systems.
Right.
Secondly, you try coordinating 25 different state systems. By the way, each state contracted their own web developer,
right,
their own contractor, to do this work at the state level. By the way,
there was no coordination. You're right.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, John, is that why states like Kentucky that are obviously embracing it and running it themselves are doing better, right?
Well, that actually has to do with who they've contracted and how much time they had. Now, in Illinois, they had 3 months to build a $40 million infrastructure.
Yeah.
That is an impossible lift. There's not a city, there's not a company in Chicago that can do that on their own. They'd probably take four or five what they actually did.
I don't even think there's a company in Silicon Valley that can do that.
It's huge, huge lift. And so, and lastly, when you build a site that large and that convoluted and that detailed and complex, you need time to test. I've built $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 websites that take weeks to test. Weeks. And they had no time to do this. They had 3 months to, from the awarding of the contract to the launch of Obamacare. The problems inherent with that are insane. It's insane, and it has more to do with the bureaucracy of the General Services Administration and how governments go about buying services than having to do with the need for Obamacare. I love Obamacare. I'm going to save a ton of money on Obamacare, and I'm sick and tired of people saying, oh, you should just flip a freaking switch, and it should work.
It's not that easy.
Never.
There's so much coordination that, that probably should have gone on, but that didn't go on.
Well, the problem is that the way they are, the way they contracted, you had to do all of this, what's called discovery from the government side, saying here are the requirements. But it took time.
Maybe there should have, maybe there should have been like an Obamacare czar to get everything up and running.
Not another czar.
Well,
not
I mean, you know, czar. Just so that they could point and say, do this, do that, do this, and get it done. You know, so that there wasn't this huge bureaucracy that had to be fought.
The problem is, from a state level, each state has its own requirements for finding and developing their own contracts. So even a czar, you couldn't do that because then a czar would have to then go to every state and have to do work and negotiate with every state and every state's procurement process. Not only that, but the GSA's procurement process is its own spider web of madness and insanity. So, you know, just be patient.
Yep.
It will work out. But the reality is that there's no one on this planet that could have done this in 3 months and have it worked. I promise you.
Yep, John, thank you. Great stuff. That's what Nancy Pelosi echoed talking
about. This is it has to be fixed. But what doesn't have to be fixed is the fact that tens of millions of more people will have access to affordable quality health care.
Yeah, if, by the way, we had treated this like, oh, I don't know, every other law in our history and Republicans were just sane and rational and went, okay, it's here. Like Social Security or Medicare, let's fix it together. Let's fix the problems. Let's try to help implement it to help Americans, to help people. I mean, there are people, regardless of how much they hate Obama, that are getting insurance for, how many stories have we read? 60% less are getting their kids covered that have pre-existing conditions, whatever.
Right. If the Republicans hadn't put up so many roadblocks in the way that delayed the implementation of the website, I think we would have had more time
to put the website up. Actively trying to misinform, you know, and scare people away. That's what's so sad about those, just the Hannity stories that were spotlighted. Those are real people that could have helped the real people in their family if they weren't scared off of, oh, I'm not even going to go on the exchange because I hate Obama.
Yeah.
It's like, anyway, and then I'm reading this story. Republicans won't stop targeting Obamacare anytime soon. I mean, this has been a losing formula for them, even politically. And I'm reading, although Obama's law remains divisive, mostly because of all this misinformation and fear-mongering, only 29% of the public favors its complete repeal, according to a recent Gallup poll. The business-oriented wing of the Republican Party wants to move on to other issues. Americans may be growing weary of the health care fight. Do you think? This is the law of the land at this point, said a self-employed photographer from rural southern Illinois who's been uninsured for about a year. We need to stop the arguing and move forward to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he speaks for most Americans at this point. He said it took him about a week and a half, but he kept going back to healthcare.gov until he was able to open an account and apply for a tax credit that would reduce his premiums. He's not completely finished because he hasn't selected an insurance plan, but he's been able to browse options. He said it beats providing page after page of personal health information to insurance companies. I mean, that's the other thing. People, how do you think this is different from what you've been doing with insurance companies in the past? Like, oh, you have to give them information. What? Yes.
You generally do to insurance companies.
Right. A Democratic pollster says she doesn't see how going after the health care law rollout will help Republicans by the time next year's election. Americans are technology optimists. This was a good point, she said. You tell them the website has problems today, and they'll assume it'll be better tomorrow. I mean, we're Americans. We can fix a website. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just reading about somebody suing Apple over the iOS 7 operating system because it has glitches. It's like, okay. That they'll fix them.
I haven't come across any glitches.
Like the president said, like, you know, let's shut down Apple because there's a glitch in the new iOS 7, right?
I haven't come across any glitches. Have you?
I have, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Doing
what? I'm going to sue. I'm going to join the lawsuit. I need a little cash. Oh. Noel in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Noel.
Hey, Steph, good morning. Listen, I'm so sick and tired of hearing everybody talk about what should have happened when it comes to the rollout of the Obamacare thing. You know, it's not what should have happened. It's what should not have happened. We should not have been dealing with a sequester. We should not have been dealing with the shutdown. We should not have been dealing with the default on the debt ceiling. Republicans have learned to be the tail that wags the dog, and we keep letting them get away with all the distraction. Shut them down. Shut them up first, and then shut them down.
Yes,
I'm so sick
of it. Shut it up. Shut them down. Come on. Come out with your hands up, Mr. President. Come out with your hands down.
You gotta get up to get down.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think I had to reinstall the iOS 7, and that took minutes,
what?
And so I just threw it in the ocean. That's it, and I'm suing Apple.
What kind of glitches did you have?
You know me. They're fine now.
No, I think they were caused by you and not by iOS.
I think I am a glitch.
You are, yes.
I am a human glitch.
Stephanie Miller, human glitch.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by No Hair Removal Device.
No, Stephanie. No.
Do it. Yes, do it.
No. No, Stephanie. No.
That's four no's.
Yes. In a completely unrelated story, city officials panic after vandals trim bush in the shape of a penis.
This was in Canada.
That's vandalism in Canada.
Yeah.
Look at that, eh? Look what I did,
Look
eh?
Look what I did, eh? Look, oh, I'll do it to your heads.
They're just being rude.
Windsor city officials were sent scrambling for the red phone this week after a local news station alerted
I made your tree look like balls.
To a bushy 10-foot-tall penis that popped up overnight along the waterfront.
Wow.
That's good. Whoever did that, nicely done. Nicely done. The city's parks boss said whoever did this did the shaping was pretty proficient at shaping bushes.
They carved the penis out of a bush?
Right.
All right.
Ironically.
Hey, you know.
Right. Sort of Adam and Eve in reverse.
Right. Okay. Doug in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Doug.
Good morning, honey. I got to tell you how nice it is to wake up with you every morning.
Oh, my. Thank you.
My husband doesn't appreciate it. But.
Oh. Screw him. Go ahead. I mean, literally.
I
go
wanted
ahead,
to
go.
Talk to you about the all of the complaining about the website for Obamacare. I listened to a long segment on Tom Hartman a few days ago, and I think he nailed the problem. It seems that it's another government contracting thing where they right. had the money from Congress to set up this front door for people to come on and put in their basic information, then we'd click them over to the state sites. But when all of these governors refused to put up state sites, they needed more money to fix the front door to handle all of those 26 states, and mm-hmm. Congress wouldn't mm-hmm. give it to them. Now, they contracted with a company called CGI, which is a big government contractor, and they do a lot for the Pentagon. And CGI is owned, it's corporate. Ownership is in Canada, and it's CGI Group up there, and it's CGI something else down here. But it seems like when you watch Fox and they say, oh, let's try it and let's see how bad it is, and they click on and they say, nope, can't get on, it doesn't work. Well, they're trying red states. That's where the problems are, is in mm-hmm. the red states that don't have the state setups.
Well, that's what I was
California
saying.
California one works great.
Right. California one works great, and like I was saying, ironically, Kentucky, but because there's a Democratic governor that is doing everything he can to help people and to educate them and all of that, they're doing everything they can to obstruct it. He's yeah. right in red states.
I think in Canada it's called CGIA.
Eh? Right, eh? Will in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Can we CGI somebody else for the Tea Party Caucus? Let's do that in 2014. Hi, Will.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hi, and my apologies. Good morning to both of you.
Yes.
I'm Chris, the evil middle American, socially in the middle, fiscally conservative people. But my question today is along the lines of insurance. And I remember during the debates, a lot of people on the left were saying that people would use healthcare at some point in their life. Everyone used healthcare at some point in their life. Therefore, everyone should have to have it. My counter to that would be everyone dies at some point in their life. Therefore, everyone should have to have life insurance. Now, would you believe in the removal?
Wait a minute. Life insurance is to benefit other to your loved ones.
The living.
Well,
yeah.
Hang on. But what right. about if at some point you die and you either get put in the ground in a casket or you get put in an urn, either of which costs money, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So you would want to leave money to your beneficiaries to at least pay for that, a burial policy, for example. Everyone should have to have a burial policy. We'll take away life insurance.
Right. Well, that's not that much.
Well,
it's not as much as a lifetime of healthcare.
Neptune Society.
Yeah.
Well, hey, but I'm driving back to my office. If I get hit by a car, I'm 31. I haven't used $10,000 worth of medical care in my life. So not that much. $10,000 would be much for some people to bury their loved ones. I guess my point is simply everyone's going to die at some point, so should we eliminate pre-existing conditions for burial policy?
What?
Huh?
I mean, death is a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Baltic says what?
I don't think you're making your case very well, dude.
But I still hope you don't get hit by a truck. I really do.
Thank you. Should we eliminate pre-existing condition for life insurance? And if not, why?
Okay. I don't. You know, you got to give them credit. They're trying to come up with new talking points. They're just not very good.
So if Obamacare is made of wood, then it's a witch!
Burn right.
It.
Well, a life insurance policy isn't structured the same way as health insurance.
No.
And so he's comparing
health
apples.
Health insurance is going
to
use.
Yeah, he's comparing apples to some
life.
Fruit nobody's ever heard of before.
Right, right.
A flarn.
Yeah.
A flarn. With fleegan seeds.
That's just as good as an apple. Here, try it.
What?
Yeah. What is that?
It's a flarn.
That was just an addition of really bad analogies.
Yeah.
We didn't even know how to... We're just like, okay, that's just not, one of these things is not like the other.
Use health insurance throughout your life to
right.
stay alive. It's
right.
The other one is for your
okay.
beneficiary. Never mind.
Okay. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, kids, getting into the holiday season, making Thanksgiving plans, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sexy liberals. We're helpers.
Yeah.
We're trying to help even the Skeeters.
Lily Gilmer's a hero.
Great strides have been made.
And Michelle Bachman.
But we still do not have a cure for Obama derangement syndrome.
Park rangers are the enemy.
And as the Thanksgiving Day holiday approaches,
that Smokey Bear's a socialist.
We become more aware, thanks to our in-laws, uncles, and cousins.
My cousin and I have agreed to see other people.
We all know about Skeeter, but we also all know our own Skeeter.
We were not compatible in the flattened Scruggs personality test.
This holiday season, do your part by donating Toys for Skeeters.
All they have to do is run the government like a household.
While the Salvation Army may be in front of the stores with their bells and donation kettles, remember the entire Walmart is full of Skeeters.
Looking at guns and ammo.
Do your part. Help this season with Toys for Skeeters.
Okay, I got the speak down. I'm working on the spell.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right. We are going to be spreading the helping. Sexy Liberal 2014. Woohoo! By the way, lots of people went on Facebook, Twitter to request their city.
Yep.
Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Steph, I'd love to see another D.C. show right after, before or after the election. Told my wife if that turns out to be the case, she can make the meet and grow my 40th birthday gift. Pittsburgh or Philly would also be awesome. Good ideas. Thank you. Please do it. Do it. Go online.
The
us.
Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area.
Yeah, do it.
Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends. Make a Facebook page. Tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter. And be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Woo-hoo! Okay. And tomorrow, oh, please, God, if the box office gods are with us, I believe we will go on sale for the big final 2013 West Coast Sexy Liberal. Very, very exciting. We did, of course, D.C. already and Chicago this year. This is the big finale for 2013. And then a bunch of other cities for 2014. Also going to go on sale this week. We're excited.
Wow.
And we always pick a sexy liberal cause in every city to give to, part of the proceeds. And I was speaking of West Coast. Can I have some California music? Something. Because I went to what do you call it, Bill Maher, a couple weeks ago on Team Grayson to support Alan Grayson, who rocked it. And he did a great piece that we were talking about how in California, Jim, as you know, we've been able to basically, what did we do? We got rid of all the Republicans, which... And things, we've turned a record deficit into a surplus.
It gets better.
Right, it gets better. And there was a great piece in the LA Times this weekend for post-shutdown reform ideas. Many look to California.
Mm-hmm.
Anger over government shutdown sparks new interest in the state's efforts to create a more moderate, less partisan body of elected officials. And this goes to a lot of Bill's points that were, I thought, brilliant. That's why things are working. LA Times writing not long ago, California was so deep in crisis. Who could have caused that?
And all of these kinds of things, I wonder. What sort of things, Republicans and things of this nature?
The top officials pleaded with Washington for a financial bailout. Remember that? A lot has changed. Now, in the wake of the federal government shutdown, many in Washington looking to California for guidance. Over the last several years, California has upended its entire system of electing politicians. The state has become a national pioneer in efforts aimed at creating a more moderate, responsive body of elected officials less inclined to dig partisan trenches. As it turned out, Meg Whitman's ads... Remember about how great the business community used to be?
When Jerry Brown was governor.
The first time it turned out to be true, and it is again. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg gave $250,000 to the back to the 2008 California ballot measure that stripped politicians of their power to draw political boundaries. It's this gerrymandering we've been talking about. In the swing states of Ohio and Florida, volunteers of the League of Women Voters offices, which for years have promoted unglamorous proposals to change the system by which voting district boundaries get drawn, say calls are streaming in from curious voters. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, in the wake of the shutdown, these polls were showing that a lot of these seats that we were told, oh, we can never win them back, they're gerrymandered, are now leaning Democratic. Anyway, LA Times saying if there is a bright spot in Washington in this congressional showdown, it's the voters are connecting the dots and starting to realize we have to eliminate gerrymandering as part of the American vocabulary. Thank you.
Yep.
California made two big changes in its election system. The 2008 ballot initiative aimed to end the kind of political deal-making that protected almost every congressional and legislative incumbent. How many of these polls can show they like we want to throw everybody out, basically? It created a nonpartisan commission to draw the line. Supporters argued that a nonpartisan system would create more competitive districts that would encourage candidates to seek middle ground. Then the state went further at the behest of actually Schwarzenegger. California also strapped partisan primaries. They were replaced with an open system in which voters of any political affiliation can participate. The top two candidates, regardless of their party, advanced to the general election. Legislative gridlock did end in California, but not because moderates flooded into the statehouse. Instead, Democrats picked up the supermajority of seats, giving them unbridled control of Sacramento. So I'd like to have like right-wingers explain why are things working so well in California. Right? I mean,
don't have a
voodoo.
Divided government.
Right. Still, supporters of election
Kenyan
changes
voodoo.
Remain optimistic about the state's moves and chances of similar ideas taking root elsewhere. The debate in Washington is putting front and center in people's minds just how broken the system is. And this is exactly what Bill Maher was talking about.
New rule. Conservatives who love to brag about American exceptionalism must come here to California and see it in person. And then they should be afraid. Because while right-wingers are taking over places like North Carolina and Texas and even Wisconsin, California is creating the kind of modern liberal nation the country as a whole can only dream about. And only can't the rest of the country stop us, we're going to drag you with us. Now... It wasn't that long ago that pundits were calling California a failed state and saying it was ungovernable. But in 2010, when other states were busy electing whatever Tea Partier claimed to hate government the most, we elected a guy who actually liked it, Jerry Brown. And without a Republican governor and without a legislature blocked by Republicans, a $27 billion deficit was turned into a surplus. How? Well, it's amazing, really. We did something economists call cutting spending and raising taxes. I know, it sounds like... It sounds like crazy science fiction, but you see, here in California, we're not just gluten-free and soy-free and peanut-free. We're Tea Party-free. Yes, we can live in reality. I mean... Texas could do it, too, but they love freedom too much, like when that unregulated fertilizer plant blew up. In California, when things blow up, it's because we're making a Jason Statham movie. No, California is not perfect, but it is in our nature to try new things. For example, now that it's clear Obamacare is going to be a success here, the movement to just go all the way to single payer is gathering steam. In lots of areas, California has decided not to wait around for the caboose part of America to get on board. Yokels can mock European-style democracies all they want. We're building one here. Gay marriage, pot smoking, regulating carbon. And people like it. The same way when Americans come back from a vacation in Europe, they all say the same thing. I saw on the beach. But... They also remark on the modern airports and train stations over there and the absence of beggars in the street and food that tastes like food. And they wonder, why can't we get that here? Well, you will be getting that here, courtesy of the Golden State. Why? Because we're huge. We're huge. 40 million of us. When we demand something, the market must supply it. Like when California set a high mileage standard for cars sold in this state, Detroit had to make more efficient cars. California by itself is the eighth largest economy in the world, the fifth largest agricultural exporter, and of course, number one in laser vaginal rejuvenation. Oh, I pat myself on the back. You know, it's so ironic. The two things conservatives love the most, the free market and states' rights, are the two things that are going to bend this country into California's image as a socialist f-topia. Maybe our constipated Congress in Washington can't pass gun control laws, but we just did. Because we don't give a shit about the NRA. Out here, that stands for nuts, racists, and assholes.
Yay! All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh. Well, hold on. Yeah, all right.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ow. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Ohio. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. All I can say is, damn that Obamacare. You know, I pay $650 a month for myself and my son.
Uh-huh.
And with a $5,000 deductible, I just went on the website and I, crap you not, I am looking at prices between $170 and $350 a month. I put in my phone number. I got a call from a broker right away, said she'd look at 62 different companies, and the deductible is half to a quarter as much, and if I want, they can get vision and dental care too.
Wow.
This is a true story. I literally went on the website, put the things in, boom, these quotes started rolling in front of me. I wouldn't believe it unless I'm seeing it.
Wow.
$650 a month to $100, $200, or $300 a month. You know,
that's not
pretty damn good.
That's not what Mitch McConnell said. Wait,
God
listen.
Only knows how much money they've spent, and it's a failure.
It's a failure.
I mean,
you haven't heard.
Yeah, because I was just curious because they said the website, you know, wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I literally went healthcare.gov, put in my information. Within seconds, the quotes came up, and then my phone rang, and it was this broker saying, "Hi, Mr. Kessel." Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Here's this stuff.
Wow.
I mean, no wonder the Republicans were afraid of this.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's working too well. Damn it.
Damn you, Obamacare. That's exactly what they're afraid of. It's just stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that's the creepy, the government, they demand information. Because, you know, normally when you call private insurance company, they just go, what's your name? Jim. Okay, here's your insurance.
Yeah.
Any other information? No. No. That would be creepy big government if I were to ask you any information. Dan in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dan.
Oh, hi. I've been listening to all of the stuff that's been going on. I was a nurse for 20 years. I worked in federal hospitals. I worked in county hospitals. I worked in private hospitals. And I want so badly to have single payer after witnessing all of that stuff. But I'm bothered about the fact that most of the people that are talking about it don't know the history of these insurance companies. I'm not a young guy, but I'm older than most of these insurance companies.
Mm.
There was only one from about 1932 until the end of World War II, and that was Blue Cross Blue Shield. They charged what was called a community rate, which would be a single payer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the insurance companies wanted to decide whether they were going to get into the business or not, they asked for permission to discriminate. Because their plan was to get all of these healthy soldiers to come back and they would insure them in the factories with their union contracts and the like. But what happened is that somebody decided that business wasn't all that good here in the United States, and they sent those jobs overseas, and they didn't have those payers anymore, and that's why the rates went up. The other problem is they made an industry out of something that I personally believe should not be an industry. That's what I
got
to say.
Okay. All right. Got it, Dan. All right. Yeah, let's hope that Bill Markey is right, that we're on our way to single payer.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Look how well this is working. Let's go a little bit farther. All right, Jebby. Jebby, it was his turn, not the dummy.
Tactically, it was a mistake to focus on something that couldn't be achieved. I think Republicans need to just take a step back and show a little self-restraint.
Wow. Good luck. Oh, and Grampy? Was Grampy upset about the glitches?
Yeah, he was.
Send Air Force One out to Silicon Valley, load it up with some smart people, bring them back to Washington and fix this problem. It's ridiculous.
Remember, he was bitching about having to tell how come he has to change, update his app so much to the guy from, where was it? From Apple. Yeah.
Well, they fixed it.
Why do I have to change my apps? Why do I have to update so much?
You don't have to update them anymore. Apple updates them for you. Problem solved.
Your card's expired.
But I have a lifetime membership.
Yours expired.
Well, that would... If you took everybody from Silicon Valley and brought them to D.C., wouldn't that kill production in Silicon Valley?
Yeah. Grammy didn't think that through.
Okay.
He's just bitching.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a really good news in the New York Times. Who read this? Yesterday's New York Times. Fiscal crisis sounds the charge in GOP civil war.
Yeah.
Fight, 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 fight. After the budget standoff ended in a crushing defeat last week and the political damage reports began to pile up for Republicans, one longtime party leader after another stepped forward to chastise their less seasoned Tea Party-inspired colleagues who drove the losing strategy. Let's face it was not a good maneuver, said Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah. And that's when you've got to have the adults running the thing. Around the same time, roughly 1,000 miles away in Mississippi, 42-year-old Republican State Senator Chris McDaniel was announcing his bid to take the seat held by one of those adults. Senator Thad Cochran, a six-term incumbent and the very picture of the Republican old guard whose vote to end the standoff Mr. McDaniel called more of a surrender than a compromise.
Oh, that's just Thad.
He's going to get really teabagged. Thad is going to get teabagged. Insurging conservative groups like the Senate Conservatives Fund, the Madison Project, the Club for Growth immediately announced their support for Mr. McDaniel, providing an early glimpse of what the next 3 years are likely to hold for the Republican Party. Fight, 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 fight. What did I say? Oh, Matt Kibbe, the guy with the, he had the weird, one of
weird
those things.
Beard.
Yeah.
Oh, the sideburns.
Sideburns that I don't.
They're kind of like really thin mutton chops.
Right. Does not own a mirror. Clearly.
Like you've eaten all the meat off of the mutton chops and you only left with the gristle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He has gristle chops,
gristle
whatever
chop.
Those are. Right. But, he said he can see the party splitting in two.
Yeah.
Which I think is a magical idea. Absolutely. It's time for a break.
Double
it's clearly
pleasure,
time for
your fun.
Yeah, time for a breakup. It's not working. It's not working. You bring out the worst in each other. Be better. You'll be better apart.
It's not you. It's them.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Whoever you are that you're listening, it's not you. It's them. They're like that with everybody. You got to go. The point is, you got to go. You got to go. You got to break up. Break up.
You sound very
breaking
familiar.
Up is hard to do.
You sound very familiar with that kind of language.
Gotta do it. Give me some breakup music.
Oh, God.
The budget fight that led to the first government shutdown 17 years and not just set off a round of recriminations against among Republicans over who was to blame for the politically disastrous standoff has also heralded a very public escalation of a far more consequential battle for control of the Republican Party, a confrontation between Tea Party conservatives and establishment Republicans that will play out in the coming congressional and presidential primaries in 2014 and 16, but has been simmering since George W. Bush's administration, if not before. Yeah, it's been, you've stayed too long. Have you ever stayed too long? Some people, you just stay too long. You gotta go. Go! Go! Both of you are pretty. You'll find someone that's better for you. You'll be a better version of yourself. Go! Be free!
Someone has totally said that to you before.
I'm just trying to help. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just turn around now, because you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye?
And as for you...
Stephanie Miller.
You're dreadful, and so is the program.
I didn't write it.
Yeah, but you know the people who do.
That'd be me. 34 minutes after the hour. Ooh, the president is speaking about the glitches in the website. Let's listen.
Coming on this beautiful day, welcome to the White House. About 3 weeks ago, as the federal government shut down, the Affordable Care Act's health insurance marketplace is open for business across the country.
Uh-huh.
Well, we've now gotten the government back open for the American people. And today I want to talk about how we're going to get the marketplaces running at full steam as well.
Yay.
And I'm joined today by folks who've either benefited from the Affordable Care Act already or who are helping their fellow citizens learn about what this law means for them and how they can get covered. Of course, you've probably heard that healthcare.gov, the new website where people can apply for health insurance and browse and buy affordable plans in most states, hasn't worked as smoothly as it was supposed to work. And the number of people who visited the site has been overwhelming, which has aggravated some of these underlying problems. Despite all that, thousands of people are signing up and saving money as we speak. Many Americans with a pre-existing condition, like Jan's, are discovering that they can finally get health insurance like everybody else. So today I want to speak to every American who's looking to get affordable health insurance. I want you to know what's available to you and why it may be a good deal for you. And for those who've had some problems with the website, I want to tell you what we're doing to make it work better and how you can sign up to get covered in other ways. But before I do that, let me remind everybody that the Affordable Care Act is not just a website. It's much more. For the vast majority of Americans, for 85% of Americans who already have health insurance through your employer or Medicare or Medicaid, you don't need to sign up for coverage through a website at all. You've already got coverage.
Ooh, what?
Good point.
What the Affordable Care Republicans Act does told for me. You is to provide you with new benefits and protections.
Thank you.
That have been in place for some time. You may not know it, but you're already benefiting from these provisions in the law. For example, because of the Affordable Care Act, young people like Jasmine Jennings and Jessica Ugalde and Ezra Salop, all of whom are here today, they've been able to stay on their parents' plans until they're 26.
Are you sure it's not Urza?
Millions of other young people are currently benefiting from that part of the law. Another part of the Affordable Care Act is providing seniors with deeper discounts on their prescription medicine. Billions of dollars have been saved by seniors already. That's part of the law. It's already in place. It's happening right now. Already, because of the Affordable Care Act, preventive care like mammograms and birth control are free through your employers. That's part of this law.
Kenny, socialism, nothing.
Park rangers of the enemy.
So there are a wide range of consumer protections and benefits
Hitler.
That you already have if you've got health insurance. You may not have noticed them, but you've got them. And they're not going anywhere. And they're not dependent on a website. Here's another thing that the Affordable Care Act does. In states where governors and legislatures have wisely allowed it, the Affordable Care Act provides the opportunity for many Americans to get covered under Medicaid for the first time.
Kenyan voodoo.
So in Oregon, for example, that's helped cut the number of uninsured people by 10% just in the last 3 weeks.
Thank God.
Think about that. That's 56,000 more Americans who now have health care. That doesn't depend on a website. Now, if you're one of the 15% of Americans who don't have health insurance, either because you can't afford it, or because your employer doesn't offer it, or because you're a small business person, you have to go out on the individual market and buy it on your own, and it's just too expensive, October 1st was an important date. That's when we opened the new marketplaces where people without health insurance or who can't afford health insurance or who aren't part of a group plan can finally start getting affordable coverage.
Muslim.
And the idea is simple. By enrolling in what we're calling these marketplaces, you become part of a big group plan, as if you were working for a big employer. A statewide group plan that spreads risk between sick people and healthy people, between young and old, and then bargains on your behalf for the best deal on health care. What we've done is essentially created competition where there wasn't competition before. We created these big group plans, and now insurers are really interested in getting your business.
You also have big groups. Hitler.
And so insurers have created new health care plans with more choices to be made available through these marketplaces. And as a result of this choice and this competition, prices have come down.
Uh-oh.
When you add the new tax credits that many people are eligible for through the law, then the prices come down even further. So one study shows that through new options created by the Affordable Care Act, nearly 6 in 10 uninsured Americans
60%,
will
Jim,
find
almost.
That they can get covered for less than $100 a month.
Saul Alinsky.
Think about that.
Al Gore's got a great big house.
Through the marketplaces, you can get health insurance for what may be the equivalent of your cell phone bill or your cable bill.
Al Jazeera's got a great big house.
And that's a good deal. So the fact is, the product of the Affordable Care Act for people without health insurance is quality health insurance that's affordable. And that product is working. It's really good. And it turns out there's a massive demand for it.
Uh-huh.
So far, the national website, healthcare.gov, has been visited nearly 20 million times. 20 million times. And there's great demand at the state level as well, because there are a bunch of states that are running their own marketplaces. We know that nearly one-third of the people applying in Connecticut and Maryland, for example, are under 35 years old. They understand that they can get a good deal at low costs, have the security of health care, and this is not just for old folks like me, that everybody needs good quality health insurance. And all told, more than 500,000 consumers across the country have successfully submitted applications through federal and state marketplaces. And many of those applications aren't just for individuals, it's for their entire families. So even more people are already looking to potentially take advantage of the high-quality, affordable insurance that is provided through the Affordable Care Act. So, let me just recap here.
Recapping.
The product is good. The health insurance that's being provided is good. It's high quality, and it's affordable. People can save money, significant money, by getting insurance that's being provided through these marketplaces. And we know that the demand is there. People are rushing to see
people are
what's
rushing.
Available.
What? Communism?
And those who've already had a chance to enroll
Bank-topia.
Are thrilled with the result.
Except
every
people
day,
are rushing.
People who were stuck with sky-high premiums because of pre-existing conditions are getting affordable insurance for the first time or finding, like Dennis did, that they're saving a lot of money. Every day, women are finally buying coverage that doesn't charge them higher premiums than men for the same care.
Woohoo!
Every day, people are discovering that new health insurance plans have to cover maternity care, mental health care, free preventive care.
Yeah.
So you just heard Janice's story. She owns her own small business. She recently became the first woman to enroll in coverage through Delaware's Exchange. And it's true. It took her a few tries. But it was worth
it. Shut her down.
After being turned down for insurance three times due to minor pre-existing conditions.
Should have put.
So now she'll be covered. She'll save $150 a month. And she won't have to worry that one illness or accident will cost her her business that she's worked so hard to build. And Janice is not alone. And I recently received a letter from a woman named Jessica Sanford in Washington State. And here's what she wrote. I am a single mom, no child support, self-employed, and I haven't had insurance for 15 years because it's too expensive. My son has ADHD and requires regular doctor visits, and his meds alone cost $250 per month. I've had an ongoing tendonitis problem due to my line of work that I haven't had treated. Now, finally, we get to have coverage because of the ACA for $169 per month. I was crying the other day when I signed up, so much stress lifted. Now, that is not untypical for a lot of folks like Jessica who have been struggling without health insurance. That's what the Affordable Care Act is all about.
Yep. All right. Yay.
Hooray.
All he needed was Cal Worthington, and I think it was a very good job.
I'll lead
insurance,
a
I'll
make a better deal. Cal Worthington is no longer with us.
I know. Oh. I just loved him.
Okay.
But he did a good job. That was it was a lot of, like, really understandable stuff, I thought.
Yep.
By the way, it is working in the States, but cooperate. Urza Klein tweets.
Urza Klein. Ezra.
California, Kentucky, New York, and Washington may well be responsible for a third of the applications on their own. Hey, come on, slackers. Everybody catch up.
It gets better.
It gets better. Right, Skeeter? By the way, this is why I love the Borowitz Report. I just got to do this real quick. Nation that waited decades for health care, infuriated by slow website. A nation that waited several decades for health insurance is becoming increasingly infuriated by a website that's wasting minutes of its time, reports from across the U.S. confirm. The official website, healthcare.gov, has been plagued by glitches, crashes, and sluggishly loading pages, say millions of angry Americans attempting to log onto the site at exactly the same time. Sharing what he called his Obamacare horror story, Mr. Kloogian said, based on that website slowed down our, being on that website slowed down our Wi-Fi so much, my kids couldn't stream videos. For a so-called healthcare program, it's causing a lot of stress. It's the opposite of healthy, if you ask me. Harlan Dorenson, a gym manager in Knoxville, Tennessee, had an Obamacare nightmare of his own, having to log onto the site two completely different times before getting health insurance for the first time in his life. President Obama said he was going to make health care affordable and available to millions of Americans, he said bitterly. He didn't tell us it would take more than an hour. Andy Borowitz is funny.
Literally took me minutes.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
They're not related, but they do be brothers.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Thank God we're focusing on the big picture.
I know.
President making a lot of really great points about the Affordable Care Act, and you're like, oh, that woman's hair behind him, awful.
She needs a gay to fix that up.
Can Affordable Care cover that? Because that is some sort of accident.
Affordable Hair Act.
Unless mental health issues led to that hairstyle, I don't think so.
Wow, speaking of health issues, Greg's asks, Steph, so is Cheney's pacemaker in airplane mode? Yes, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. That was the story we did earlier. Cheney had a wireless function on his defibrillator, disabled, out of fears of terrorism.
Yeah. Well, ask Michael Hastings about that. Well, you can't.
By the way, today he says he's a new man. He feels fantastic. At 72, he has no real physical limits. I can fish. I can hunt. I don't ski, but that's because of my knees, not my heart. So it's been a miracle. He can
walk.
It's awesome. Good news. Okay, that is magical. It's been really magical.
Great.
Good. The good thing he had that fancy government health care, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, by the way, we were saying the other silver lining in all this. Not only is the president highlighting this morning that the Affordable Care Act is working very, very well for many people, and he made the really great point that it's not just a website. That's for actually a teeny percentage of us that don't already have insurance. So it, just because there's a few glitches with the website, whatever.
Glitches and anomalies.
Which they are fixing.
Anomalous glitches.
And there's been a rollout of a affordable care, and they are fixing it. Anyway, the other good news, it's a fight time in the Republican Party. There was a delightful piece in the New York Times yesterday about the GOP civil war. Mm-hmm. It's civil war in the GOP, said Richard Viguerie, a veteran conservative warrior. It's breakup time. It's breakup time. In dozens of interviews, elected officials, strategists, and donors from both wings of the party were unusually blunt in drawing the inter-party battle lines. Fight. Suggesting the time for an open feud over the Republican future had arrived. I think so.
Yes.
I think it's time for a breakup. Two parties. Go your own, your separate ways. The moment draws comparisons to some of the biggest fights of recent Republican Party history, including 1964, Barry Goldwater, which is why Hillary has to pick me as her vice presidential candidate, because she's going to win anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And there's the irony that she was a Goldwater girl, and my dad ran with Goldwater. And you could win. She could win, I think, even with a fart joke comedian as her number two.
Number two?
That would be my job. I just bring the whoopee cushion to every event. Here, Hillary sits. Still funny, right? Still funny, Hillary?
Love you.
Some awesome. She loves it. I do it at every campaign stop. Oh, my God. She can't get enough of it. I know it. I know. Okay. Some optimistic Republicans note that both of those campaigns planted the seeds for conservative movement's greatest success, Reagan in 1980. Yeah, that's right. In the year aught, whatever, you'll probably be really, really successful again. These are just seeds, Jim. These are seeds they're planting now.
Mm.
These seeds of disastrous failure that will someday bloom in...
More like seeds and stems of the Republican Party.
Right. Right now it's all covered in... But, you know, eventually it will grow into something... Whatever. Okay. Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye. Bye. Please don't cry. Don't cry, Ryan. It's gonna be okay.
Don't cry, boner.
Who's a sweet lamb? You're a sweet little lamb. It's gonna be okay. You'll be happier. You'll be happier.
I'm gonna start whining more.
Whoever you are right now, if you're an establishment Republican or a teabagger, it's the other guy's fault. It's their fault. It's not you. It's not you. It's them.
Fight, 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 fight.
Yeah. I love that song.
Speaking of love, the love of my professional life, Carol Burnett, received the Mark Twain Award. Look, there's our good friend Jody, her daughter Jody Hamilton, right next to her.
She hasn't received it before now?
I know.
Tina Fey got it before she did?
I love Tina Fey, but shouldn't she have gotten like 75 of them by now?
I think so.
The Mark Twain Prize for American Humor this weekend in Washington.
That's kind of an oversight that she hasn't received it until now.
She said, "This is very encouraging," she deadpanned. I mean, it was a long time in coming, but I understand because there are so many people funnier than I am, especially here in Washington. With any luck, they'll soon get voted out, and I'll still have the Mark Twain. Love her. Love her. Let's go to Dan in Kentucky. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say how offended I am at my senator, Mitch Yertle the Turtle McConnell, standing up and saying that the ACA is a train wreck, a failure. When in this state, we're getting all kinds of news coverage for being the best at signing people up.
Yeah, exactly, because you have a governor that's cooperating and actively encouraging it and helping people.
It's a failure because it's so successful.
Right.
I'm pissed off.
Oh, this was sad news. Jim pointed this out earlier. It looks like Oprah has fallen on a hard time. She's auctioning off her personal items.
Hmm.
Oh, it's for charity. I apologize. For Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy Foundations. She's selling collectibles from her homes all across the United States.
Hmm.
I have some of those. I've stolen them from various homes. The one in Santa Barbara, I was there for the Obama fundraiser. We were in Maui. I broke in there. I stole something. I got some stuff
What'd
to sell.
What'd you steal?
Well, you can find out later on eBay, can't you?
I guess
so. A car. You get a car. You get a car.
I felt bad. For a minute, I almost gave back my salaries from my two canceled Oxygen shows, but I decided not to.
Computer says no.
It took him a while to figure out what was wrong. Didn't they?
What?
No.
All right.
You were with her company for how long?
I don't... It doesn't matter now.
Oh. A
couple of years.
Oh.
My ex-wife worked in the basement.
I didn't kill the next network. I only killed the last one.
You haven't been on OWN yet. You haven't had a chance to kill that
one. That's what I'm saying.
She almost did that herself.
They have short memories over there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jim. What were you saying about your...
No, my ex-wife used to work for Oprah and Harpo in Chicago.
Huh. Thank you for that fun. That's a Jim Ward extraneous fun fact. That one was free. All right. Oh, speaking of free,
what?
As it turns out, the entire first segment of the show that was not on the air because we had technical difficulties,
yeah.
And it was the best,
as far as you know.
Yeah, 15 minutes of radio we've ever done. So that'll be on our Facebook page.
That'll be on the Facebook page, on Twitter, and it'll be available as the free podcast download on iTunes if you subscribe to that.
All right. And big West Coast Sexy Liberal announcement tomorrow. Tune in then. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.